Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How's it, guys? Welcome to another special edition of the Box Office Six Nations. What a fantastic weekend of rugby we've just seen here. We're going to be discussing it with unbiased, honest opinion. And joining me is going to be Jean de Villiers, Skalk Burger, and not Skalk Brits. We didn't know how many teams there were in the Six Nations, whether we're at the World Cup, whether it was schoolboy rugby, whether it was Six Nations, Five Nations, or whatever nation it was. He struggled last weekend, but Skalk Burger will certainly be on it. The box office is now open. Let's go. Skala, welcome back to Bishops. Your memories, obviously not here last week. You managed to sort your diary out. Where were you actually?
The gang is back.
Yeah, he's back.
Gang's back together.
I was in the Laafeld, Nelspruit, Malalaan, a little bit of a trip into the Kruger. Don't worry, I did play Leopard Creek. I know you guys.
You poor thing.
Yeah, shame, man. Shame on me. But like, it's surprising that they let me in here. Last time I was here, we played there at the Piley Reese. There's a reason why Francois Lowe never played against Paul Jim. And my brother started a fight. I finished it off. And we got chased out here by the Bishop's old boys, and they refused to play against Paul Jim for 2 years. So I've lost my hair, and they didn't recognize me, and I managed to sneak in here.
So your brother, this was under 18s.
Yes, first team, Paul Jim.
They played Bishops together.
Yeah. In score, I mean, we smashed them, obviously, like we used to. But yeah, it was tight till a point, and my boot started a fight.
Like we still do.
And my boot started a fight with Anthony Fenton-Wells.
Actually. Okay, yeah.
Nick Mallett's brother, sister.
Nick Fenton-Wells, you mean?
Nick Fenton-Wells.
Yeah.
Sorry,
the older one. For Bristol a Nick, bit.
And Stormers.
Saracens, wasn't it?
Sorry, you got me wrong. Yeah, Nick's older brother.
Yeah, Anthony.
He was the eighth man, and he got hold of my brother, and then I just finished the job off. And then, yeah, I think our parents also had something to do with the fact that we didn't play for 2 years. Yeah, there was a bit of red mist. But like, I'm back here, and it's lovely being here. Thank
you. Know, in Skull
Travels, the ban was 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
So what happens on Monday when you get to school and this fight's broken out and there's been carnage?
No, at the Piley Reef. On our side, it wasn't such a big thing. We just thought it happens every weekend, didn't it? But obviously quite a big thing here in Bishops. So, Francois Lowe never got to play against Paul Jim.
Can I make one comment?
Welcome, Jean. Sorry.
No, you don't have to be welcome.
Welcome,
no.
Jean.
Thank
welcome.
You. When Skull travels to Nelspruit, as he shared with us, he actually travels with a suitcase, empty suitcase. You know that. And his golf clubs, and then he just brings back the cash.
Oh, okay. Yeah. One of those trips, harvesting.
Yeah, yeah. No,
you're harvesting, is it?
Just brings back the cash.
Private jet, not yet.
A collection trip, was it?
Is it?
I had to pay some cash on the golf course, unfortunately. Lost against my business partner quite.
Isn't it like 40 degrees up there now?
That's so hot. Cape Town's been steamy, but that is hot and humid, but beautiful part of the world.
Both you guys, Paul Jim. I think I know the answer for this. The best atmosphere you've played in schoolboy rugby.
No, but wait.
I think I know the answer.
Jimmy, can I just confirm that you went to Ronnebosch? Right?
Yeah. We spoke about this last week.
And then there's a big rivalry between Ronnebosch and Bishops, right?
The biggest. Rugby royalty.
That's big.
Rugby royalty.
And where does your son, your only son, where does he go to school?
Bishops. Hold on, talking about schools here.
Where's
Bishops? Skalar with his two boys.
How do you feel? Selling your soul.
Skalar's kids are at school underneath the mountains. It's a long way from Paul Jim.
I know, but it's right next to where I live.
Yeah.
I mean, you've gone to school there, but your son's at school here.
Yeah. I was at Ronald Walsh. He's at Bishop's.
I mean, it's a long answer to a simple question. Paul Jim, Paul Boys.
I thought so. Why you thought at four, so? It's the
at,
biggest...
At Forest Street, 25,000 people.
Biggest schoolboy rugby game in the world.
Did you guys win it? You won it, Georgia.
Yeah. I lost.
Is it?
Yeah, 12 points.
Wasn't the Paul Boys team?
Just a big front row.
Yeah.
Absolutely bullied us on the day, but like...
Paul Boys is one of those things. France Malherbe, Thomas Tutu, they've produced some proper...
Yeah, J.D. Moller, Neil Fullard, yeah. Guthrie Steenkamp.
There's a whole
all
lot.
Of them. Yeah, lots of forwards.
Okay, yeah. Let's say, okay, I knew that was the answer. That was the obvious answer. Yeah. Let's say the second best atmosphere.
No, that would be the...
Did you guys ever play Grey Bloom?
I never did.
Yeah.
No, I played them on the 16s. Yeah, never played them for the first team, no.
Yeah.
That, I suppose, that Uffies?
I never played at Uffies. I played against Uffies, but at Loftus. So I never played the other.
It's also like nowadays, they've got so many more festivals. Like we used to have like St. Stithians, or you went to the St. John's Festival, Cape Schools, but we never really crossed paths with those schools. Where now, obviously it's a different, Wilderklaver is a big thing where you'll have these big matchups.
North-South tournament. So, I mean, Shim, you joke about it, but it is something that is extremely special, that rivalry in Paul.
I wasn't joking, I was being serious.
But I mean, we
I've watched it on TV, I've commentated on it. It's a whole week build up.
Exactly.
It's fantastic.
So it's something, and even just from a community point of view and from the town point of view, it's something that keeps the place going as such. So I don't think there's a lot of places in the world where the schools actually drive a lot of what's going on in the town. And that's definitely the case in Paul. And I think for anyone that has never experienced it going there, it's extremely special. You know, you play on a neutral venue.
Have you ever been at one of those, Shimmy?
No, I've commentated on it.
Okay.
At the stadium?
Yeah, at the stadium. No, it's massive. I was shocked at how big it is.
I've
done a couple of games there also when I think Paul Rus came to town.
Yeah.
But it's just another world there.
Yeah.
Just in terms
first
of
weekend in August, Shimmy, I think it's time we do the social calendar.
Aspects. I haven't done the social part yet.
We'll start with Old Boys Rugby, golf on Thursday, big night in the rugby club on Friday night, and then we stumble in to watch the game.
The pressure for that game?
Yeah, it is quite big, actually, I think.
I can imagine as a 17, 18-year-old.
Well, exactly. Now you're playing.
Your whole school year revolves around sort of... Yeah. The success of your rugby team sort of revolves around that game.
And you're playing in front of so many people, you know, something that you're not used to. So, you know, getting 25,000 people now for a Vodacom URC game or whatever, you know.
It's a big crowd.
It doesn't happen a lot. So, in a way, you're preparing because you're preparing for a potential professional career where the expectations are there, massive crowds, it's on TV, it's all of that. So... You do get to test yourself, you know, at an amateur level and kind of prepare yourself, I suppose, for a professional one.
1995, Ronald Walsh against Paul. You would have been standard.
I was grade 8, standard 6.
Ronald Walsh won 3-0. Just mentioning.
Hell of a game.
Hell of a game. We smashed them 3-0.
Right here.
In the rain.
In the rain.
Ronald Walsh. Yeah. Greatest game in the world.
You look at the score 3-0.
It was the one time we won.
Yeah. It can only be in the Newlands Ravine where you're going to get a game 3-0.
3-0
game.
In the first 5 minutes, and then it stayed like that for the rest of the game.
Hell of a game.
Was Bobes playing?
No. Bobes wasn't. He was still at Dale College.
Oh, okay.
Did
they buy him the fix?
Bobes might have beaten Paul Jim, I think.
Not 96.
No, 97.
Not 97 because they won beat to 97. But you can make...
Okay. I'm just
don't
talking about
the facts.
Let's talk about your holiday. Ace of Fontaine, how was the one-hit wonder?
Guys, I was
one
there.
One big night and he disappears. Did he pull that performance again?
I actually think he made up for the one-hit wonder.
James was there with you guys also.
Yeah. So we were so calm. We went there first week in December and then Butcher arrived just after Christmas. And then obviously John was there already. And then we just settled into a nice, easy rhythm, up early mornings, breakfast, beer, and then go to bed.
Breakfast and beer.
Yeah, breakfast and then a beer. John even did a little mountain bike loop with me and Butchie. Butchie's training for the Cape Epic, which is coming up in, a month's time?
Yeah.
And then we averaged going to bed between, 12 and 3 in the morning. Yeah, so rock steady, 3 hours on the beach. We had unreal weather. You know, my dad and them was on the other side. Claremont, the sea was rough and it was cold. we were like stuck in the Mediterranean, Shami, a place that you know well from last year. It was incredible.
His endurance, though, we all know about John.
No, he was impressive.
Good. He's good. He's impressive, but his endurance, though, he can't pull two nights in a row.
So he came up with a concoction that kept him going. So it was vodka.
Bioplus.
Vodka in a big 5-liter tub. Was it 5-liter or 7.5-liter tub?
Vodka,
game, and rehydrate.
And rehydrate.
And that's the only, thing that got him going. And he drank that for an entire bloody holiday.
Our friends that was staying with us. So in his mind.
So explain that vodka.
Game.
Vodka and rehydrate.
Rehydrate and game.
Because the vodka dehydrates you and then you want to put the good stuff back
in. So you put it right back into you.
And game, you know, gives you the energy to kind of stay up. But in his mind, it made
perfect
sense.
That's a great thing you send me a picture of.
Yes.
Looks like blood.
Yeah. That is.
That was a Bloody Mary. that's the next morning.
Like they did arrive at New Year's Eve at my house, not being able to say a word.
No. That's a lie.
They didn't say much. Pops, and Butch, John's Butch wife, and had hiccups for good about form, the hour.
Butchie, always good form.
Butchie was incredible form.
Shimmy,
let's talk about Six Nations.
No, we'll get to the Six Nations now. But I mean, the holiday certainly feels like a distant memory now. But we had a hell of a time, and it's lekker to just meet up with friends. Not a lot of hassles there in Azefontein. You go to the beach for a couple of hours. You meet people. You have a drink. Nothing gets organized in advance. No. You just meet again, and it's good time. The kids had unbelievable time.
Who's ever house we hit first, that's where dinner happens, you know. So it's amazing.
So you'll be allowed back. He's got a house there, so will you be allowed back?
No, I think John's already rented his place for next year or this year.
I'm hoping that they would go to his parents for Christmas next year. And then
he can go to Nospeck with a briefcase. And come back. Guys, Six Nations, what a weekend, eh? Great start to a great tournament.
Yes. I think what really stood out for me, first round of Six Nations, defense. And how impressive, actually most of the teams were in terms of defense, and how especially that Ireland-France game, Ireland just demolished the French in terms of defense. They couldn't do anything. Yes, they were lacking a lot of creativity. You know, no Dupont. No, we know the players that they didn't have. But the way that they just smashed them time and time again, impressive result.
The Willems, the yellow cards? Red cards?
Sorry, Jimmy, did I not call that game? And
I knew this was coming. Yes, you called it.
Okay.
The red card. But in justified. The two yellows.
Yeah, you got to feel sorry for Paul. Yeah. Because the first one, you can see what he's doing. And, you know, if you're a coach and your player's going there and you've got the player and he turns his back sort of, not that Furlong, did he hit Furlong? Was it Furlong he connected with?
Porter, sorry.
And he sort of players that the best time to hit him and get momentum is right at that time, you know, where he's sort of hung in, he sort of changed his back towards it instead of waiting for the ruck to form and then clean it. Makes head contact, that's unlucky. And then the second one, we all know about this, the adjuster defender. Yeah. Look, he's a big unit. He comes in to put a big shot.
Yeah.
And I think it actually, on Doris, it actually looks worse than what it was.
And it's actually 2 centimeters off.
And he just
it's worth hitting that high, though. I mean, it's the risk. Those days, remember, I think it was Jerry Collins that would smash here, but you must
have
that
the
now.
Big forearm
that smashed you there. But is it worth even attempting that? Rather, you know, go for the legs or bail out of it.
I don't know what, I can remember at one stage, you get certain players, the pushdown tackle, it became quite a thing. Yeah. So I think almost if you're adjusting, you're better being off in that mindset than actually dominating, is to be like the pushdown mindset and try and get in on the ball and get your reward by slowing down the ruck instead of putting the big shot on the guy.
Yeah.
But like Ireland was impressive, not only in defence, their attack. I think in the first 60 odd minutes,
something a bit different.
Only 4 turnovers I think they created. I don't think France at the bite they have normally have.
No.
And you could see that normally when they are defending and they're physical, the breakdown's a mess. Mm. And if the breakdown is slow, you get to Gibson Park. You know, he's got to have a double take at it. Mm. And then you can get to Crowley at number 10. But they were playing with so much tempo, quick ball speed.
Yeah.
And it was repeating itself over and over again. And if the ball is so quick against Ireland, we know how beautifully they play. And then they've got Bundyaki and, geez, boys, McCarthy.
McCarthy was, wow, was flipping. I mean, he was.
He was obviously injured last year because we haven't seen a lot of him.
He played a bit. But he plays like
he's amazing.
Plays like a loose forward, eh?
Yeah. Work rate, carries.
And I suppose to your previous question, in terms of is it worth making a tackle like that from a Willemse point of view? You know, everybody that's seen him play, he's the.
He's the enforcer. Like McCarthy's doing for Ireland.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you don't want that out of his game, but how do you find a way to do it differently? Because that is, I think, the change in behavior that World Rugby is looking for, yeah, in terms of, okay, if you're in that situation, don't go for that because of the risk of the head contact.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's a difficult
thing. And also
thing.
It's the second one, so you would have been frustrated with the first one.
First one, yeah.
Like, nothing of it is outside of his job description. You know, he wants to hit rucks. You know, we played with Bucky's. You know, Bucky's hit the ball carrier and the defender. He took all of us out.
Never head contact.
Never head contact. You come on and you think, okay, yeah, Doris is one of their big carriers. You know, Edwards would have said, you've got to shut down Doris. He gets a carrier half tackled. You want to put a big shot on him. I would have been in the same position to adjust and carry him back. And unfortunately, you know, he hits him that much high and he gets a yellow card. I don't think it's anything more than that. You know.
But then probably coming back to your Joe McCarthy is that, you know, he's young enough to find different ways to be the aggressor.
Yeah. Well, his ball carries, first of all, are something else. He makes meters.
I mean, I was very surprised to see
James Ryan.
He was at one stage being touted as the next captain. Now suddenly on the bench, you know, Ian Henderson doesn't even make the 23 anymore. Yeah. But this guy comes.
Mike Bird went well again.
Yeah, this guy comes on and, you know, to have
that
kind of Irish team and then someone new coming in and being so impressive, that's a bright future for the young lad.
And I think it's often an underrated part of the Irish game that you think how physical that pack can be.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know Bundyaki's. I mean,
he drives the power on the back. Yeah.
But like, I mean, yeah, the French. They almost look lethargic in the defence. You know, if you think about the games that we played against them, obviously know what the box are bringing, how physical we are. They're the one team that could potentially match us. You think of that quarterfinal.
They were good in that quarter. 60% of the game.
They were absolutely outstanding. And I don't think they quite had the same bite on Friday night.
But I think we can all also agree that the fact that, South Africa's been so physical and dominant in terms of their physicality, most games that they play, you know, being coached in that kind of way. And I think we can all agree that the reason why Ireland was so aggressive and so good in that physical department as well is because of Jacques Nienaber now being with Leinster.
Apparently, it was the World Cup final that everybody wanted.
I know.
You read that, I saw a lot. Apparently, it was the World Cup final that everybody wanted.
Jacques Nienaber should get credit for
I can promise
that.
You, I didn't quite fancy that World Cup final.
We don't want that World Cup final, but apparently, it's a World Cup final that everyone wanted to see. So that clearly France, there isn't life after DuPont. I mean, they struggled. Aluku, I mean, obviously you read what they're saying there. Probably new in that role, getting an opportunity. Ireland probably showed there's life after Sexton because their system's so good.
Like DuPont's special.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't think Luke's a bad player. I think their biggest issue was they were bossed around the physicality. They got physically bullied on the weekend. They couldn't stop the Irish mole, they had lost Paul Willemse, and we know Forlock's got quite a big role to play in how effectively Ireland could set those moles. And Willemse is a big unit, you know, he's quite disruptive in that area. Yeah. But like the physicality was outstanding from Ireland. So I think that's where the basis of the big victory came upon. You know, yes, playing with, 14 men for 15 and then obviously losing Willemse early on in the half is not ideal against Ireland. But for me, that was a standout. And then obviously, Zach Crowley, life after Sexton. It was amazing, So, like, he played beautifully. He had lots of time on the ball. And that's probably...
With a dominant pack.
Gibson Park.
Did you say Zach?
Sorry,
not Zach Crawley, not the opener of England.
Sorry, I got it wrong. I was playing
Washington. Jack Crawley.
Jack. I thought he said Zach. I was like, yeah. I'm maybe
watching too much cricket.
What a test match, though, eh?
Yeah.
The first one, India versus England. Outstanding. Yeah. West Indies beating Australia.
I haven't watched it, to be honest. I watched the West Indies, Australia, the last test.
Jamal Joseph.
Yeah, exactly.
How's that bowling spell, boys?
But you look at Ireland, Scullard, also different running exits, you know, getting the ball. You're used to teams kicking, having a go. Then if it's not on, send it to James. There is a certain comfort and safety that you see around the way they play.
Yeah, but also you think of the big French pack. You want to make them work. You think of us back in the World Cup, Damien Willems are catching a mark in the 22, calling the scrum, trying to get those guys to start moving. You know, putting the big units under pressure. And I think if you can do that against the French side, who's by all means a power side, you know, when they attack, they want to strike within three phases. When they defend, they want to suffocate and strangle you within three phases. If it becomes a kicking game or a multi-phase game, they're out of their comfort zone. It's something they don't see in the top 14 that much.
And do you guys see anyone beating Ireland? They've got three home games, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they're playing England away, aren't they?
Yeah.
And Scotland. I don't know.
I can't see Scotland beating Ireland.
You look at the World Cup performance. Ireland ran all over.
I think England will have one big performance in them. And I don't know, of late, that's not happening against Scotland. They battle against Scotland, but I think it might happen against Ireland.
So the slam then they come to South Africa against the world champions.
Look, the
double grand slam. Yeah. Okay. I personally want Ireland to do well because then it tees it up for a hell of a series later on in the year here.
You do want that, but I don't think we should take the performance of the weekend out of context. If you take everything that France did well in the World Cup.
You called it though.
And the
Oracle. Yeah. The Prince of Paul.
He's half then, Irish as well.
You're half Irish also.
And then you look at...
He's more French, isn't
he? No, but then you look at the way that they played on the weekend. It was just a off-colour French team.
Yeah.
And yes, Dupont is a massive, you know, him being gone is...
Yeah, look, he's a special player.
It's a massive void.
He's a player of a generation.
But it's the others as well that didn't play. Plus a Willemse getting red carded. So I think you need to take that into account that if that is not the case, the French will be difficult to beat.
To roll over again, yeah. But John, you look at it, France at home in Marseille, they had a World Cup quarterfinal at home, which they butchered. Then you look at the touring schedule. England are going to New Zealand.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know who Australia are playing, but when last did a French team get out of their comfort zone, come to South Africa, go to New Zealand? Because they're definitely not doing anything at home. When do they actually learn that maybe they should learn to also come away from them, come out the comfort zone and get those meaningful victories similar to what an Irish team did by winning a series in New Zealand?
Well, I think it's this week. So they play Scotland this weekend.
But that's not really a
way. No, but still.
It's like us going to Joburg.
Yeah. But playing in
it's a
Edinburgh.
12 flight, yeah.
So at least that's going to be, okay, we'll see this weekend if the French are, you know, how they adapt to the massive loss. Yeah. Embarrassing loss in a way. And can they put up a good showing? Knowing that, okay, those players are still not available. Can you up your discipline? Can you put up a good performance and put Scotland under pressure? Because certainly Scotland will back their chances.
Sometimes after a World Cup, and in South Africa, it doesn't happen very often until Rashid took over. We never carried a coach through a World Cup.
Yeah.
The World Cup was the end of an era.
Yeah.
So you get the new energy and you get a new way of thinking. You're challenged. Yeah. Maybe you're not selected because a new coach is favouring a different set of players. Often, if someone has to carry on, you know, and you've had a massive disappointment, I think it's quite hard to recapture what you were working on because their big goal would have been, okay,
World Cup.
Home World Cup, let's get this over. And the disappointment thereof shouldn't be underestimated. So they've got to go reinvent themselves to recapture the energy because that was what was lacking for me in their performance.
Yeah. Guys, sometimes you play games, you win the game, but it still feels like a loss. Scotland against Wales. You saw Finn Russell's interview afterwards. 22 years since they won there. But for the Scottish guys, I mean, it was 26-0 at half-time. 27-0 at half-time. And then somehow the Dragon got some fire back.
And then 26-0 the other way, was it?
Exactly. But I mean, for Scotland, what do you say there? You win 22 years. It's taken you to get the victory. You get the win, but you're not happy about it.
I think the fact that they were unhappy about it is a positive sign for them.
Yeah.
In that even though it's taken them so long to do it, the fact that they could have won by a far bigger margin is disappointing for them. So it shows the standards that they that they have within the squad, and certainly led by Finn Russell. So I think that is positive for them. And probably both teams can come out of that relatively positive, because even from a Gatlin point of view, young squad coming back from 27-0 down, you know, you either lose your squad and you lose by 50, or they fight back, and they did that, playing a very different style. So maybe that's the future of Welsh rugby.
Like, I think you've got to always have perspective in these moments. So Scotland, you've got to celebrate the fact that you actually got this victory over the line, because they haven't done it.
It could have been a massive choke job. Well,
but it's always, second half was. You know, they will be disappointed with, you know, getting the two yellow cards, losing momentum, and then basically getting bullied in that latter, you know, 30 minutes of that game. But, like, the dangerous thing is, if you don't celebrate those victories, the ugly wins, you know, that good endorphins you get from it is gone. You start on a Monday almost half depressed, trying to prep for the French side this weekend. So you've got to go, listen here, guys, amazing performance. Let's concentrate on the positives.
Yeah, okay. Let's take that out.
How does the first 50 minutes look for us? And for me, that Welsh defence was similar to the French defence, where, you know, not often you think that the Scotland pack of fours will dominate and get quick ball all the time. You know, we know certain ball carriers. Piers Schoeman is quite an aggressive little carrier.
He was good.
And he played beautifully.
He was phenomenal, I thought, for Scotland.
He's got nice soft touches on the ball as well.
And then when he carries, he's the enforcer then. That's
and we know, like, when Scotland plays against us, if you give Finn Russell time on the ball, you've got to get through nine, you've got to get to him. You've got to put him on there, because then he gets into this flow state where it's cross kicks and offloads, and he calls the ball out the back of Tui Pelotu. He's got, obviously, Duan Funamera running off his shoulder, scores the first try. Similar to the second try they scored, the last try they scored, you know, the counter-attack by Finn and the offload to Duan. There's good detail in that, you know, because all the loose forwards, the way they work back. Nick Tompkins was trying to close the gap, and their loose forward was just in the perfect position to give him a tiny little shove. Give him a tiny little shove, misses Finn on the first tackle, and then Duan runs the short line under it. So, I mean, well coached. And, like, when they play with tempo, Scotland can damage any team. It's when
rock
they get
run, yeah.
Second half, when they get into that set phase, losing, you know, physical battles, what's the exit? You know, that's when Finn tries to force us sometimes, or, you know, he gets stuck in the back, and they don't have a clear pattern of how we're going to turn this negative into a positive. Because we've all been there, where you sit for 30 minutes and handle pressure. It's very often that you, in a test match, you know, concedes 26 points unanswered.
But it's also, if you if you think about it, and even go back to the France-Ireland game, you know, how many times did you see Gregory Aldrit with a good carry, or Olivon with a carry, or a Ramos, or whatever? You didn't see any of that. And when you're in a slump like that, you need your big players to be able to stand up, get the ball in their hands, and create kind of those moments. And for Scotland, I felt it was the same, you know. Once Wales got on top of them,
One stood up. Yeah,
yeah.
Wainwright was good. In the second, he got man of the match. Is Aaron Wainwright?
Yeah.
I thought he was very good.
From that first game, I think the turnover count was 4 versus 14. Yeah, 4 from Ireland and 14 to France. And we've all played in games where you've got a high error rate. Doesn't matter how much energy you put in, there's a break in play. So that energy doesn't actually get put through. It never comes anywhere. So. But you want your big players to stand up, like John said, and I think in that second half, you need your big players to have calm heads, but also put out a big output of work. And they just looked a little bit flat in that second half. But that, again, first time they've won there forever. They can play the most beautiful game and not get a result. And, you know, there's nothing to show.
It's the dark side of Scotland. It's, you know, they can have 5-minute periods where they're unbelievable. But sometimes they'll, when it's not on, you know what I mean? They force it. You know, you can look at a guy like Finn Russell. He's magical 1 second, and then he'll try something, and then it doesn't pull off some. For an international flow, especially against the good teams, you turn that ball over against a Springbok team, a New Zealand team, you're standing underneath the poles.
I think it's a conundrum they've got, because
it's the nature of the beast.
When he's good,
You can't contain
when
a player
Finn
like
plays. That. Scotland's a different animal you face. When he's not playing, that they've got to play. They find a different way of making.
Yeah, you see, you know, playing special for moments. Gala, I mean. He's walking on water there at the wreck.
Literally, it's been raining so much there by the wreck. You're not right next to the whole thing is underwater at the moment.
But what do you think Gatlin said at halftime? There's two things. It's either the pressure's off from Wales, 27 points down, you've got nothing to lose. Let's play with a certain level of freedom. Or the coach comes in there and he gets the messaging right and they come out firing.
I think it's the naivety of youth as well.
Yeah.
In that it's a young group. They probably haven't been in a position like that before, and they're just like, you know, let's go, let's play. You know, it's kind of, if you're a young player, you don't feel the pressure that much because you don't have the baggage of previous results like that and knowing that you were in that position. So sometimes it can be positive or negative, but I think for the Welsh, it was certainly positive this week in where, you know, it's like, okay, well, we're 27-0 down, but we're just going to...
And the crowd got alive. That was special.
We're just going to give it a go.
That stadium's got the best atmosphere. Yeah. Up north, when it goes, yes, Twickenham's a big stadium, and you know, you go
to stuff that almost say is
special, but the Principality Stadium's got something special. I think if you're an experienced coach like Warren Gatland obviously is, I think you go in there and say, listen, yeah, this is as bad as we can play. First 40 is done. We can't be worse than this. So what's the questions? Reiterate the three big points that you want. What do we want to do in defence? What do we want to do in attack? Where's the soft underbelly that we're looking in the Scottish side? And let's go ask the right questions in the second half. Yeah. The results are the question. And then, you know, the game was done, but then they gave themselves a real chance to win it at the end, which was surprising.
Skylar, do they evolve? I mean, everyone's spoken about the Warren ball, Jean. You know, the Gatland coaches a specific way. Yeah. That Dan Bigger with that long kicking game, you know, that sort of outkick you then look to have a go from then with Sean Edwards.
Yes.
You know, obviously their defensive mindset and all of that. Now they've got this youthful team that looked better when they played ball in hand with a bit more freedom. You know, you can't replace a biggest kicking game or, you know, it's obviously a big churnout of a new players.
It's an opportunity for them to evolve into that, to go with the trend of the rest of the world, really. You know, even from a South African point of view, yeah, people say that we're very conservative, but we've got the ability to
good on transition
and transition and play off turnover ball. So it's a great opportunity for them. I suppose you need to ask the question whether they've got the players that can do it and the depth that can really, you know, play this kind of game, which does have a little bit more risk, and play that week in and week out and be really good at it. We've seen the Welsh teams struggle in URC. Yeah. And that's kind of the only place where they can, you know, really test themselves, and it hasn't been that successful. So it is a bit of a conundrum for them, but I don't think they'll get a better chance in being able to take on that style.
I think if you're a young player now and they ask you to play Dan Bigger's role, I mean, you're going to fail miserably.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're an attacking player or your first instinct is to play attacking, surely as a coach, you've got to promote that. Yes, this is test match rugby, so you can't, and you're not everyone's Finn Russell. So when you're a youngster, you can't be as loose as Finn. Yeah. Finn can do what he wants in that Scottish side. So you've got to find that balance. But I think the bigger issue is, like, if you look at the Welsh team's play, not a lot of them play with high tempo, attacking flair, ambition. Contrary to the Scottish side that wants to play as fast and possible as they can. You look at Glasgow and you look at Edinburgh, all of them has got a big attacking element to the game, and they can put you under pressure, you know, especially the Glasgow side.
Yeah, I suppose the difference is we could name a Scottish team now, I'll probably get it 90% right.
Yeah.
Ireland, the same thing. France, probably similar. Wales, not at the moment.
And who's the Welsh captain?
What's that?
who's the Welsh captain?
Loose forward, open side flanker, made all the tackles.
Jack Morgan?
Yeah, that's him.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
Daffer Jenkins.
Yeah, Daffer Jenkins, the 21-year-old.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so
that's what I meant.
Yeah, well, like,
that's what you said.
That's what I said.
No, but I think that's...
I actually forgot there for a second.
I was
about to say Ellen Jones. He's been captain for about 20 years.
Yeah.
He'll be waiting. Yeah, is he still going out to lock?
There's a nice Ferrari. There's a Bishop's Ferrari right there.
Yeah, well spotted, John.
I can't believe you did that, Jimmy. The reason I asked that, because it is a very inexperienced team.
Yeah.
And even from a leadership point of view, yes, you've got Gatland, lots of experience, but now it's like, okay, almost a new generation coming through with a young leader, with all of that. So testing times for them, but also a great opportunity for them to change style.
How far do you think they'll go? Not very far.
They will be bottom two.
Yeah.
Talking about bottom two, Italy versus England.
Jeez, guys. How close?
Did you just say England's going to finish?
I never said that.
How close
Let me finish the question.
How close did Italy come there for upset?
But also, their defence was impressive for me.
Yeah.
You know? So I liked it.
What, the England defence or the Italy?
Yeah. The Italian defence.
But also the attack. They asked some good questions against a defence that looked uncertain. English defence that looked uncertain.
Like this.
Did they deserve more from that game, the Italians?
I think so.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, they're still quality players, and that's the thing that stood out with the English side. Like, they managed to scrap a win, and they'll go, listen here, that's a good start. Yeah, but if I always say, like, if you've got a coaching regime, so you've got Steve Borthwick, you go last year, we know that they're going to go back to basics, mechanical stuff. Scrum, try and sort your scrum out. More mechanical thing. Breakdown, mechanical thing. Kicking game and defense. Mm. That's the basics you get right. Last year, they played to their strength.
Yeah.
Best defense at the World Cup, best kicking game in the World Cup. So this year we go, we all think, okay, Felix Jones is going across there. Sorry, this was my, maybe I was just not in the loop, but I thought, okay, what a great job did he do with our Springbok attack over from 2018 till 2023. And we all have massive respect for Felix, his work ethic, how he coaches the attack. All of a sudden, he pops up on screen as defense coach and he's copying a Bok style of defense. Then you look at the highlights clips, there's one horror clip, obviously, with the Tommaso Allan's try where, five guys on the blinds, three guys by the ruck, two passes take out 12.
Tommaso Allan.
Tommaso Allan.
Yeah.
He's related to John Allan, who played for the Sharks.
But
you said an Italian accent.
Second pass takes.
It's not wee wee, by the way.
12.
He said wee wee, that's French.
Second pass.
Yes.
Second pass takes out 12 English defenders, and they've got a 4-on-1 with Elliot Daly. You know, so like, first clip, same. Chisholm is on his own.
Yeah.
On his own. Mission. It's a tip pass from Gabrisi to put Cannone through the hole.
Yeah.
But like, he comes from 5 out.
Just rushes up,
Leaves per Joe Marler in no man's land, and they score the try off it. So there's a lot of work in that defensive system because that was out there. It does
beg the question. So England.
What's the question?
And everything that Skulker is going to do now. England starts new this year. They see what Felix has done with the box. You employ him, but you employ him for something totally different. So on what basis do you get a guy like that if he's going to fulfill a role that you haven't seen him? Or is it based on what he did when he was still at Munster?
Or what he's learned there. Or maybe he wants to change roles.
Yes.
So we've all seen Felix and his work ethic. So no doubt he's going to...
He'll fix it.
He'll fix it. But, I mean, it is at international level, doesn't matter who you play, that's a hard place to go through a transition. And it just seems that English coaching staff lacks a hard transition. It can be simpler.
Did England deliver on their promise of being more attacking? I think Jamie George said that. They tried. Look, it was a completely different side to what we saw. I mean, you just alluded to that, to the World Cup.
But a different Italy side as well one that got smashed by New Zealand kind of thing.
But does that worry you? Would you be worried? Do you think
Italy,
you're almost lost by 90-something points? Well, they did to New Zealand.
To New Zealand.
Yeah. And England
should have
remember
I still don't know how they lost against us.
Am I overthinking it? Maybe the fact that, New Zealand gave them one by.
Can you remember we had that lovely dinner on the beach the night that Italy played?
Yeah.
New Zealand.
100%. And our boys kept on running from inside with Brian O'Banner.
Oh, Brian, in Toulon.
In Toulon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the boys just came out running every time there was a try. And we're like, no ways.
Yeah. Good old days.
So does it work?
What was the question?
The good old days. I'm listening to Skulkwitz. Six Nations was this weekend. Okay. And Italy played England. Okay, are you with me now?
I'm with you.
Okay. So do you think from an England point of view that it's good enough for a team of England's... Look, not talking down the Italians, though, but, I mean, Italy were all over them in the first half.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
all over them.
I think it is important understanding the way that the opposition played. So credit to Italy for it. I think, again, England found a way to win in the World Cup. They found a way to very almost beating South Africa in the semi-final.
Yeah.
They found a way to win on the weekend again. And I think that's based on the experience that they have within the squad, having a Jamie George and a George Ford and other experienced guys there. And the performance itself wasn't a good one.
But they will now go and look at it and say, okay, this is where we want to go. We want to change things, and this is where we want to end up in 2, 3, 4 years' time. How do we get there? This is the way we play in the weekend. How far are we off? What do we need to change? And go about it in a, you know, in a structured way. So just to look at the performance as a whole, no, they'd never be. No team would be.
I think
there's room for improvement.
The main threat for them, and you know, implementing a new style of defense. And look, I thought their line speed was a big step up in the World Cup already from what it was prior to the World Cup.
Yeah.
And now it's gone another level up, although it's a bit disjointed. It's like you play Ireland with that style of defense. It is a big, big risk. And we see it when we play them, and we're the best in the world as Springboks defending that way. How many times we get cut short? How many times that flat face ball over the top catches our wingers biting in too early? How much space they're able to unlock?
Cross kicks when you take it wide.
Cross kicks when they take it wide.
John, you just used to intercept the ball there.
I mean, why not?
Why tackle? Yeah. Why tackle? Just intercept
the problem is if Oli Chisholm starts going for the intercept. your defense is not working.
But England had five debutants in the team. I thought, okay, let's Roots, the blindside flank.
Yeah, he was man of the match.
Good.
Like he carried hard, eh? A proper carrier.
Look at Courtney Laws, obviously not playing international rugby. He needed a replay. And he was a big part of that England.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of their 12 who played Dingwall. Was it Dingwall?
Yeah, Dingwall.
Freeman, the wing, right wing?
Yeah, set up a beautiful try. Set up Elliot's.
It's a big boy, big boy also.
So big Northampton influence there now, you know, as well. Alex Mitchell at 9.
Yes.
He's a nice player.
Finn Smith at 10 that came on last 8 minutes or so. So, you know, Northampton's been very successful in the Premiership. And now, you know, you see the players coming through in the England squad. So,
like Alex Mitchell looks so good when it's up-tempo. He's not afraid to take the little quick tap and break from the base. Almost, you know, similar to like a Gibson Park. You know, he's just the best in the world at getting the ball out the ruck, Gibson Park. You know, there can be bodies in, he's in there and the ball's gone, which is really a standout to his game.
And Beno looking good also. I must say, he was the one player that in the World Cup.
He was the best player at the World Cup.
Yeah, right? I thought he was,
And led the stats, you know, he was breaking records left, right and centre for that English side, carries and tackles and line breaks and offloads. And I played with him at Saracens for a long time, you know, when he was coming through as a junior, and he's a proper talented player.
The loose duo combination.
You get work great out of the two. All three, you get good work.
It doesn't work for them.
Yeah, like for me, Andrew's, you know, like a guy like Curry is probably a little bit more rounded. Like a traditional open sider, Andil is really good as a tackler, and you can see why they'll pick him, because if they want to have this big line speed, he's got the ability to dent a few ball carriers. You know, then you've got, like, the nice thing about it is you've got three workers, because often with English packs, you normally have two workers, and then, like, the two's got to overwork for, like, carrying a big ball carrier at number 8 or... I don't think it was too bad. Roots was impressive in the way he carried. But I think an out-and-out open sider like Curry can add value there.
Italy, how do they... Lots of energy, lots of endeavour, but again, not getting the result.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a hard comp for them. You know, if we all played in teams where the belief is high and you believe you're going to win every game and you end up doing. We also played in teams where our belief was not as great. And you end up losing games that you should be winning.
Because you'd assume the first game would be their best one, you know, new tournament, new coach, everything, let's get this over the line. And they started well.
I do think, you know, Wales, they've got belief there. You know, I don't know when that game's coming up, when's Italy playing Wales, but I think they've got a chance. They did last year in Cardiff, and I think they'll stand a chance to maybe turn this young Welsh side over. This young Welsh side, I think, has got the ability to stand up to play against England and maybe even put Ireland under pressure in for long phases of the game. But their risk is going to be Italy. How do they get themselves up to play against the Italy side that under Quisada looked proper?
Yeah. But Canoni, look at Canoni, Seb Negri still going.
Yeah, Seb Negri at blindside for them on the weekend. Yeah
tough. They've been together for a while. It's just, you must wish Italy, just for them to, you don't want the public losing interest in obviously the Italians. They drew a big victory or something. I think the last big victory that was probably under Nick Mallett when he was when
don't
he was
say
no,
that.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
No,
Nick,
no.
Nick's gonna watch no, this.
Nick's gonna watch. He's gonna say thank you. Congrats, Nick.
They had some good results under Nick, which is a long time ago.
They did, but look.
Well,
they,
I mean,
under, they beat Wales last year.
Yeah, under Crowley. Yeah. And then obviously the World Cup was a bit of a disaster. I think in the media backlash as well, they received from saying they're going to play New Zealand to beat them, or and then took 90 points. I don't think they saw it coming, but I mean that can happen.
You got to ask yourself again. Also, what does success look like for Italy? Because, I mean, you can't see them beating any of...
Well, it's definitely not losing by 90 points to New Zealand. This, unfortunately, it's a loss to England, an England team that didn't play that well.
But so that's
but it
thing.
Creates hope.
Yeah, and you know, they're not going to win the Six Nations. They're not going to win the Six Nations in the next 10 years, unfortunately. So for them, it's just being able to be...
Good luck with your next trip to Italy.
For them, it's being able to be...
Give them five.
I mean, I can't see it. Yeah. I can't see it. Maybe you guys can, but you can't see it from... And then they're so... Benetton's so competitive in the URC.
They're going well in the URC. They're traveling nicely.
But they're not able to transfer that into international rugby and have the depth and consistency to beat the top teams in world rugby, and certainly not the top teams, or well, the teams in Six Nations. So you again need to say, well, there's talk of Six Nations changing, and South Africa coming into it. You know, what is the mindset of these Italian players, and what do they want out of it? Because they might just have to, you know, fight for survival here to stay in a comp that if they're not part of it, if it is going that route, that they might be in massive
trouble. Sean, just to talk about that, there's a lot of chat, or it's in the papers, South Africa joining the Six Nations. Yes or no, do you think it's a good idea? Should we focus on maybe down south getting a strong Australian team, strong New Zealand team, going back to touring, you know, New Zealand team maybe touring, playing 2-3 test matches with midweek games, or a Wallaby team? What's the solution?
We're going to have the luxury of doing both, Jimmy.
Yeah.
We'll play Six Nations and play Australia and New Zealand. You know, so like...
Because obviously with us going to the
North... I think
the
one worry, if you like Australia and New Zealand, that's going to be the biggest rugby world competition, international world cup in the world, unless a World Cup, you know, every 4 years come along. But like if you've got those Six Nations competing, you know, like it's only going to be a good thing for us as South Africans, and how are we going to, you know, be exposed to top-level footy all year round. Like the Italian sides, I think success is how competitive they can be, you know. And, you know, we often see the Italian sides being up for one weekend and then just drop their level a little bit. But, like, Benetton's so competitive. And I think the good thing for their players is Benetton plays a lovely attacking brand. Yeah. You know, they play with it. So they've got to have, you know, what is their point of difference? And it's probably the way they attack... the way they want to attack. Zebre, unfortunately, battle. But even this year, they've showed some some more enterprise in the way they played. You know, it's not the set-piece battle, which used to be the case. You know, you had to wait for Castro Giovanni to turn an All Black scrum around and get six penalties.
They had the
game.
Best scrum in world rugby at one stage.
I know. Yeah.
Remember Crockett getting a yellow card against Italy? 100%.
The game in Rome or wherever.
But you know what? They win in Rome.
No, it's been fantastic, boys. Let's look at the
thank
predictions.
You,
no problem. Let's predictions first. You can thank me later. No, Scotland versus France.
Fantastic. Scotland versus France in Edinburgh. This might just be the game.
So actually, are the Frenchies still going to sulk, or are they going to come out firing?
Is Willems available?
He's probably
they've probably got another lock that weighs 150. Look, I think is it Mofana, the Toulouse lock? He's injured, eh?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see him, right? Because he's a proper beast.
He's big.
Yeah. Who are you going to pick? Who's winning this game?
I'm going to go France.
You went to Ireland last week. Your best one. Scala?
Are you comfy with that? I'm also going to go France. And I'm just going to go...
Too much power.
Just too much power.
Yeah.
And I do have all the respect for what Finn can do.
Yeah.
I just don't think, you know, after France's defensive set last week and the way they gave them quick ball, you know, pretty much ineffective at the breakdown, I don't think that's going to be the case this weekend.
Yeah, I don't think...
I'll go Scotland.
Okay, well done.
I'll go Scotland.
Okay, nice, Shimmy.
Nice one, let's move on.
Yeah. No, wait. Can I give my opinion on it as well? Like, you don't become a bad team overnight. One result does not make you a bad team.
Yeah.
If it becomes an open game, throwing the ball around, Finn Russell we know can be unbelievable, but the French can be unbelievable as well.
Yeah.
We've seen how Bordeaux has been playing with Luku and Jalibert at 9-10. So those will be the guys as well. You get a Peno and
scored 40 points against the Bulls.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and if it goes physical, slow game, the French has a heavy mean pack that can...
I just worry about the mental state of the French.
That is why I'm going for France, Shimmy. Why are you going for Scotland?
Purely because they've just beaten England. They're on form. They're a settled team. No, sorry, they've just beaten Wales.
Yeah.
It's the first time in 22 years. Scotland has moved into my body now. It's just a settled team. You know, they've got something to prove that they're chasing. I think...
It could very easily be...
Look, Scotland. I just worried about for me, the French, I mean, 2007 World Cup at home, they couldn't get that over the line. They get another opportunity with a better team, they couldn't get that over the line. The play in Marseille, which they're generally very good, they couldn't get that over the line. Now they're going to travel away from home. There's uncertainty there. They've lost their two best, their two kingpins in Tamek, Dupont. So I just
it's
think.
It's a silent T. It's Dupont.
Dupont. Thank you.
Okay, next game.
Okay, let's move on. England, this is meant to be quick. England versus Wales at Twickenham.
England.
Yeah, England.
England, Ireland. Ireland versus Italy in Dublin.
So is that a quick one?
That's a quick one.
Where they play?
Either way, whether it was in Dublin or in
Ireland.
Yeah, we've got to go.
Yeah, Ireland. Okay. Player of the week, Jean.
Last week.
Yeah. No, 3 weeks ago.
No, what are you talking about? Are we predicting a player of the week?
How can you predict it? The teams aren't selected yet.
Well,
was your player of the week from last week?
Well, the game hasn't been played either, and we're predicting who's going to win.
We can be 80, 90% right, but you can't.
Why?
Okay, who is going to be your player? Who was your player of the week from last weekend?
Who's going to be?
Who was your player?
Take your time. Ask the question.
Who was your player of the week last weekend?
McCarthy was very impressive for Ireland.
Ford,
McCarthy,
I'll go Ford, McCarthy, Beck, Crowley.
Crowley?
Nice.
Yeah. There's life after Sexton, isn't there? This player played for ages. Great player. And there's a youngster who's stepped up and he's taken that role and he looks so comfortable in the number 10 jersey in an Irish shirt that functions around the number 10. You know, he's the kingpin.
And you can't go with any other teams because it was like scattered performances where Ireland had the most rounded.
So McCarthy?
And Crowley.
Yeah. And then, Roots for England was special, but the game wasn't quite of the same quality. So,
Joe Root.
Quick one, breaking news, guys, with Joe Root. Did you say Root?
Yeah.
He said Joe Root.
No, I just said Root.
It just popped up on my phone, yeah. Rassie Rasmus confirmed a Springbok head coach till the end of 2027.
Yeah.
Tony Brown attack and Jerry.
Oh, TB.
Yeah, Jerry Flannery. Defense, new additions. Here's another one. Yaku Paper takes on a full-time role as national law advisor.
Yeah.
And Dwayne Vermeulen appointed to roving coaching role.
Okay.
Shimmy, why are you... It's breaking news, but we've known this for so long.
Oh, did you know about Yaku Paper?
Yeah, did you know?
No,
you don't
know.
No,
I didn't.
Come on.
Okay. Thoughts, boys?
Yeah, I think big time. So, we played with TB Tony Brown. You know, he came down here after his... Highlander days, and he spent a season with us. He's amazing. And then he went off to Japan, played a little bit there at Sanyo, now Panasonic, and moved into coaching. You know, won a Super Rugby under Jamie Joseph, was it, for the Highlanders. So, he's going to bring something different. You know, top man, but also we know he thinks about the game. Every time he coaches...
Jamie Joseph, Jean, as breakdown consultant.
No, he's not.
Okay, I just made that up. Since you know everything.
every time Tony Brown coaches a side, he does something inventive on attack, whether it's the Tanaka kick over his head.
It's exciting though, isn't it? Yeah.
Flannery, obviously, Rassi.
Well, before you get to Flannery, so on that point with team, so will South Africa do creative, inventive things like that?
I think maybe. I don't know. Rassie's head coach. I mean.
Okay.
I think he'll add a different dimension.
Yeah, exactly.
I think what excites me is that the fact that he's coached so many underdog teams and now he's got the world champs, a highly talented team. What he's done with Japan is amazing. You looked at Japan did 2019. What he did with the Highlanders, you throw that into the mix with the players that we've got, the depth and everything else. You know, you're not sitting there thinking, okay, how are we going to win scrums? How are we going to win line-out ball? That's guaranteed. It's what you do with the position.
He's got a different, when he coaches, you know, he's got a different, you know, physical specimen he's coaching here with. So things that they had to be inventive with to get over the gain line with a small little tip or funny little running line. Yeah, it's a little bit of a simpler way to coach, but if he can add the added dimension of the little subtle offload or the something inventive like he does with the Japanese, it can only empower our physicality. Flannery, defense coach, obviously big shoes to fill with Jacques Nienaber.
And
if I look at it, I think, you know, Dwayne will probably consult on breakdown, mauling, defense as well.
Line out.
And, you know, big step for Dwayne. It's always nice to have IP stay in South Africa. You know, so often we see our coaches or players, great players, play for extended periods of time within South Africa. And the next moment, you know, he jets off overseas or he moves on to, you know, something out of rugby. And to have him in our system is very comforting.
Paper, great. It's also a bit of innovation getting Paper back in. One of the top refs in world rugby now is he's giving back to the game. That's fantastic, I think.
Use that. And I think, what's really great about Rassie is, you know, we talk about the innovation and trying new stuff and whatever. But even from a coaching point of view, not just sticking to what we have here in South Africa, I always think that it'll be difficult for a foreign coach to be the head coach of South Africa. But the value lies in exactly what Rassie is doing now, getting consultants or assistant coaches, experts in their field to come and add to the team. You might ask, well, you know, how will the relationship be with these new guys versus the guys that were there previously because they were together for so long? But, I mean, Rassie was the guy that brought Tony Brown to the Stormers back in 2008. Planning Rassie coached with Fla at Munster before he moved to Northampton. Jerry Flannery.
Okay.
Fla.
He just ignored it. He brought Felix as well.
Yeah. So Felix
and Alad was with him as well. So.
And Paper, same thing. You know, they've known each other.
Come a long way from obviously Paper.
Free State when you were even at Free State.
Yeah.
Have they not contacted you?
Who? Free State.
Front State. Director of rugby.
Free State number 10. Free State amateur team.
For the box.
The box office or the box?
The box.
Box office.
Box office.
Anyway, look, we need to go now. Jean, thank you very much. The Prince of Paul.
Show me.
Cricket.
I just love spending time.
Everywhere.
I just love spending time with you.
Good luck with the Royals, eh?
Yeah,
the Paul Royals.
When are they playing? They're playing in Joburg.
Yeah, tomorrow night, Wednesday night. Again.
Skala, I saw you at one of the games.
I was with the Cape Town Indians, but we're out. MI Cape Town. And I think my SA20 is also out. I'm not watching any of the games.
Not the final this weekend?
I'm at a wedding.
Well,
Billy LaRue's wedding, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Franschhoek.
I'm still waiting for my invite, Billy. awkward. Anyway, honest and unbiased opinion on the box office, which is now closed. See you next week for more action.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.